some time to look in the book of Genesis at the start of all things. We have come to trying to multitask here. Can't do it. Genesis chapter 8. Genesis 8. Beginning at verse 1. Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass, at the end of 40 days, that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. And she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed, the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth according to their families went out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your amazing word. And Lord, what you have revealed to us from heaven, exactly what you have wanted us to know, to have, to study, to live. Lord, thank you. And we have the privilege of being together in a place without restriction to come and worship you and look freely into your word. Lord, we are a blessed people indeed. Lord, we do pray for those over us in authority, as your word says, in our country. For leaders, we pray that their decisions may be according to your will, whether they know it or not. We pray for those in high places who are your children, who truly belong to Jesus Christ. Give them wisdom and give them strength and courage. But Lord, we just pray for those, and that your will may be done. And Lord, because you're the one who sits on the throne over the rulers and the kings of all the earth, you are still on the throne. And so, Lord, we trust you. Lord, we pray for those even within our church family of serious needs, things going on, Rosie Cooley, Joy, Dixon, others. Lord, it's quite a list. But for your mercy, for your grace to them physically, for your strength to their hearts. And Lord, as they call out to you, would you draw near to them? Lord, we pray for those around the world who are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for your Spirit's work in people's lives as you are drawing people to Christ. Lord, we pray for there's nations at war. It seems like more than a lot going on. We pray for those who are Christians in those countries. We read about them in the news and all, for your protection and safety to them. And Lord, even through them, that their needs would be taken care of. We pray for the Christian organizations that are ministering to body and to soul. And we thank you for that. And Lord, there's just so much happening. People fleeing their countries, refugees. Lord, through all of this turmoil, would your word have effect that goes beyond the needs of this life? We pray for the nation of Israel. Your word says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So Lord, just again, it's your will, it's your way. We don't know the days in which we live, but there's just so much going on. And yet, Father, we trust in you. So Lord, as we come to your word, as we continue through where everything began, help us not just to have a grasp of this as a textbook, but Lord, there are things, help us to see ourselves in this, because your word is timeless to every generation. Speak to us, Lord. Give us ears to hear. Speak to me. We just thank you and need your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 8. I'm going to take a little bit different tack to this one than what we've done a little bit. A man is wakened at 3 o'clock in the morning, his wife too, by a loud pounding on their front door. He gets up, goes where there's quite a storm going on, opens the door, and there's this fellow who's just soaking wet, and obviously he's had way more than one too many things to drink. And the guy says, sorry to bother you, can you give me a push? And that guy goes, do you know it's 3 a.m. in the morning and it's raining cats and dogs? Sorry. Closes the door, goes back in. Wife goes, whose was that? Said, oh, just some guy who's had too much. And he wants a push. And the wife goes, so did you help him? No, of course not. It's raining cats and dogs outside. It's terrible. She said, well, you must have a short memory. Remember about 3 months ago, we were stuck on the highway and total strangers just stopped and helped us out. Wives are like that, you know. Like, okay. So he gets up, gets dressed, goes outside, front door. Hello, you still here? And he hears a voice, yes, you still need to push. Yes, where are you? On the swing. Okay, apocryphal, untrue story. So, Genesis 8, when do you need patience? Patience. Patience is golden. Let's get rich. When do you need patience? At what times? Usually when you're not expecting to need it. I have a list. I whittled it down to just the Psalms rather than the 36 times that the expression, how long, is used in the Bible. Just the Psalms. How long, O Lord, how long will you forget forever? How long will you hide your face? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? How long will my enemy triumph over me? How long will you look on, rescue my life? How long will you assault a man? How long will the enemy mock you, O God? How long will your jealousy burn like fire? How long will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? How long will you defend the unjust? How long will you hide yourself? How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. How long will the wicked get away with it? How long must your servant wait? Patience. Seems like a lot of those how longs are when something obviously is wrong. Genesis chapter 8. When you need patience the most, at times, is when it appears God is silent. Genesis chapter 7, verse 4. God speaking, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. Genesis 7, 4. God did not say another word until Genesis 8, 15. Over 300 days later. Now, it's very interesting about this. I think it's called a chiliasm, if I'm correct. It is a parallels of thoughts in portions of Scripture. Jesus used it in the story about the prodigal son. He went down, 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 and then he went and came to himself and up, 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 up. And everything of that parallels itself in his going down and going up. Philippians chapter 2 about the Lord Jesus Christ coming from heaven, down, 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 and then there's a parallel where it's up, 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 and it parallels. And we have that here. God resolves to destroy the corrupt race. Noah builds an ark. The Lord commands them to enter. The flood begins, the flood prevails, God remembers Noah, the flood recedes, the earth dries, God commands the remnant to leave, Noah builds an altar, the Lord resolves not to destroy mankind. Down, 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 up, 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 up. And they parallel each other, I want to look at this in terms of days. 7 days of waiting for the flood. 7 days of waiting for the flood, Genesis 7, 4, 7, 10. 40 days of flood, 7, 17. 150 days of the water coming, 724. 150 days of the water decreasing, 8.3. 40 days of waiting, 8.6. 7 days of waiting, 8.10. 7 days of waiting, 8.12. There's a parallel there. Parallels itself. It's one of the, actually this, someone has said, in dates, this is one of the most concise calendar chapters 7 and 8 in the entire Bible, because we have to the day when the water came, and then we have to the day 8:13, the 601st year of Noah's life, first month, first day, and then when they get off from there. Second month, verse 14, 27th day of the month. Incredibly specific, down to the days. Down to the days. One of the most concise calendar chapters. Patience. At a conference that I went to some years back, I had the opportunity of hearing Dr. Lonnie Williams, who is with the Billy Graham Evangelical Association. And he was a runner, actually runner into, as in running marathons type of runner. And how long is a marathon? 26 miles, yes. How long? Well, he remembers, he tells about one race, and I don't know if it's Chicago. Yeah, Chicago Marathon. There was a kid, he remembers this kid. Everybody's cheering, you know, you're doing wonderful, you're doing fine. He remembers this kid at about mile marker 13, young kid. And the kid shouts out, "You got a long way to go!" He remembers him as the Chicago Marathon prophet. They say, "You're only halfway there." They say when you're running marathons, you hit the wall at about mile 18. I don't know. Never ran that far. Isaiah 43, you know, and the Lord has some amazing things in the first couple of verses, but he says this. He says, "When you pass through the waters, when you pass through the rivers, when you walk through the fire." It's interesting. He does not say if. He says when. Waters, deep water, fire, when, patience. Someone has said the most important quality in the Christian life is endurance. In the words of Revelation 13:20, it's patient endurance. Jesus even said, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." Patience, endurance. So, what happens when you don't hear from God? And your endurance begins to run out. And you want to quit. Four facts to remember I want to draw out of this. I said this is a different approach to this, but it's okay. Four facts to remember. Verses 1 through 5 in Genesis 8. Remember, when you need patience, God is thinking about you. Genesis 8, 1. Then God remembered Noah. Now, that's not that God forgot. Remember means to think about, to mark, or to be mindful of. See, at this point, all Noah knows, the rain has stopped. It stopped. And now it's like windy outside, but it's quiet. And then as he keeps track of days, 40 days of rain has come and gone, and that's a long time. And then it's quiet, and the ark stops, you know, the quiet boat in the quiet water, and you're just there. God is at work, always. I understand a long time ago, that they did the Bible study, great study, Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. I had the opportunity to hear him in person before he developed that study. It's very good. God is always at work. And here's one thing. At this point, he remembers, he thinks about, he marks and is mindful of Noah. See, God is at work when you don't think he is. How long, O Lord? And there's Noah. And in your life, how long? How long? And when there's no sign of anything getting better, there's no sign of anything, period, to remember that God is thinking about you. Jesus said, "My Father is always at his work to this very day." John 5:17. One thing to know is that God is thinking about his children and what they're going through. Another thing, verses 6 to 14. Verses 6 to 14, Noah's opening the door, sending out a raven. And why does not the raven come back? Because ravens are into floating dead animals and carcasses. And that's part of the job description of a raven. It's like, oh, look at all this stuff that's now, it's all quiet out there, but it's just floating around. I was like, poof, poof, food. Raven doesn't come back. So what do you do? Well, a dove And of course, a dove is a totally different type of bird. And so it's like not even a place to light up anything. Like the dove is looking around and, oh, there's the raven guy. Because he's the only live bird around here, and forget it, I'm not landing on that kind of stuff. That's what it says. No place to even put the sole of its foot. Dove come back in. So comes back in. Noah waits. 7 more days. Sends back out. And the famous dove olive leaf peace sign, dove olive leaf, come back in. 7 more days. Sends it back out. Dove doesn't return. Things must be dry. Understand, when you need patience and there's nothing going on, it is okay to do what you normally need to do, to carry on as normal. You know, sometimes in a crisis, what do? Carry on as normal. Do what's normal. When you need patience. What was Noah doing? Well, he was exercising patience, one thing to the next. Remember Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah, great prophet of God, and after a wonderful victory over the prophets of Baal, Mount Carmel, fire comes down, and it's like, yes. And God shows himself mighty on those who trust in him. But Queen Jezebel says, basically, this pastor's translation, Elijah, you're dead meat. So Elijah, mighty Elijah, fears and runs for his life out into the desert. He's exhausted. He sits under a tree and he says, he prayed that he may die. He prayed that. He falls asleep. An angel wakes him up and says, basically, pastor's translation, breakfast is served. And there it is, food for him to eat. And he eats and goes back to sleep. Happens again, water and food. And then Elijah leaves refreshed. Because what, at that point, did God do for Elijah? In his incredible weariness, after an incredible victory, the normal thing. You need sleep, you need food, and you need water. That was normal. To get himself refreshed again. See, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do in times of incredible stress, circumstances beyond control, and all that stuff, sometimes the most spiritual thing to do would be to take a nap. Because when we become exhausted, Jesus even said to his disciples, okay, you had all these wonderful things you had happen, miracles, you came back. Now he said, okay, so come apart and rest a while. Some have said, it's come apart before you come apart. And rest a while. Even though that didn't last long. Someone has said we sleep. Oh, by the way, don't nap in church. Don't nap. This is not nap time. Someone has said we sleep when we should be awake, and we're awake when we should sleep. Why did Noah, 7 days later, why doesn't it say, well, he sent out a dove, it came back in, and so he waited 2 days. Ah, enough waiting. Send it out again. 7 days. Why did he do that? Why did he take his time? I think he realized that some things take time. I mean, he looked out, oh, there's a lot of water. Some things take time. And in some things, God takes his time. In some things, he takes his time. And what is God's time? You're going to wonder, what is God's time? Whenever he thinks it's necessary. That's all I can say. It's his time. So number 3, verses 15 to 22. Then God spoke. Oh, emphasis. Emphasis. Got to put the right emphasis on the right syllable. Emphasis, because it says, then. Then. Notice it says, at least in the New King James, hopefully maybe in the King James as well. Verse 15. Then God spoke. Not before, but then he spoke to Noah. See, understand that God will show up at the right time. He will show up. God will show up at the right time, which will be his time. Now, from the time that they were told, In chapter 7, verse 1, come into the ark. Until God spoke to Noah, chapter 8, verse 15, 16, go out of the ark. There's over 300 days gone by. Over 300 days. But the right time, in verse 14 here, chapter 8, verse 14, was when the earth was tried. Notice that, verse 13 at the end, the surface of the ground. But hey, have you ever walked on something that looks dry on top and it's like, oh, that's not? And so there's a distinction in verse 13, the surface of the ground, and then it says in verse 14, and the earth was dried. It's like, okay, it's back to dry again. The earth was completely dry, not partial, not mostly. And so when God had everything ready for Noah, God told him to come out. Someone has said, sometimes we need to release to God our expectations in terms of, Lord, you know, when you have done everything that you need to do, then show me what the next step is. God was getting the world ready for Noah and his family, but God was getting the world ready. God was getting Noah ready for the world. See, the ark is cramped quarters. Well, maybe not so cramped, but it's dry, safe, and secure. But the world, oh, it's a jungle out there. Well, I mean, the jungle's gone, but it's, you know what I mean? See, the ark was a place of security, but life outside, because we can trust God in the ark, Noah's world, his comfort zone, but can we trust God outside of the ark? Because that's what was going to happen. God said, go out. And of course, when God shows up, verse 20, chapter 8, then Noah built an altar. When God shows up, it's proper to praise him. It's proper. It's all right. As a matter of fact, this altar sacrifices, remember he had seven of clean animals and clean birds, seven pairs. So he's not just taking one of two. Oh, can't multiply. That way, seven. This is the one thing that Noah did that God did not tell him to do. You get that? After it was all done, God did not tell Noah, and by the way, after all done, build an altar and offer me an offering. Noah built an ark in obedience, and he built an altar in gratitude and worship. An ark and an altar. But God didn't tell him. He just did this. So it's proper when God shows up. And then finally, the last verses. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma and said, I'll never again curse the ground for man's sake, even though the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will not again destroy every living thing as I have done, because while the earth remains, all these things will happen. Understand, this is the last thing that what God is really concerned about is the person, the people. Noah, his wife, and his sons' wives. That's what God is really concerned about, are the people. However, and I'll end with this. Verse 21 at the end. Because you can look at verse 20 and 2 and go, wow, this just means things are going to go on forever. No, verse 22 says, while the earth remains. And verse 21 at the end, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. That's it. Because when you read in the rest of the Bible, some parts in the Old Testament, and revealed even further in the New, there is a greater judgment coming than the flood. Greater. The flood was of water. But Peter says the earth is reserved for a coming judgment that will be with fire, when the heavens and the earth will pass away, and there'll be new heavens and a new earth. Greater. So he says again, as I have done, nor will I destroy every living thing as I have done, because when that happens, it will be a different way. And the safe place will be. The safe place will be. And here again, Christ is like the ark, because in the New Testament, a wonderful two-word description of an authentic Christian who has turned from their sins to Christ, his death on the cross for salvation, forgiveness, received him, and Paul would say that he is Lord. Paul goes on to write, Christ in you, but his most favorite term in his little letters is in Christ. In Christ. So think of in the ark, in Christ. In Christ. And that's a place of safety from the judgment to come. The judgment not just upon the world, but the judgment upon us, even for our own sins. Are we in Christ? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. And Lord, I just pray that we would be helped through this, that you're the one who's sovereign, that even if there's things that we do not understand what's going on, that we can look to you, that we can trust you, that we can trust you even with the timing of things. And as many things, Lord, it could be something physical in our lives. As I've mentioned, we have some serious physical needs. Or it could be something that's totally non-physical. Maybe it's someone in our family, someone we know, someone we love, who's away from Christ. And it looks like they're not coming anywhere close in the foreseeable future. But Lord, we can still trust you. We can pray for them and trust you. As you give opportunity, speak. But trust you in your time. And Lord, that in your time, you will do all things well. You will. But Lord, that we can trust you. And then in the meantime, have patience and persevere, continue on, but with patience, trusting you and praising you if you choose to show up. But if you don't in this life, Lord, still trust you. So, Lord, whatever it is, whatever type of problem, circumstance, that are not good, anything of that that's beyond us, Lord, help us to trust you with patience and to just continue walking in obedience to you and to your word, doing those things that are normal in obedience to you. Lord, for your glory, it's for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.